This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Today, I'm joined by Illinois State Representative of the 31st District, Mary Flowers. She joins to speak about Illinois politics and to give us a little insight and an update on the DHS Small Business Grant. Thanks so much for joining me, Representative Flowers.
It's my pleasure, and thank you for asking.
You know, there was an article yesterday. It came out that the Illinois has to show what it owes. And I was a little bit confused about that, because wouldn't the state already show what it owes? Or no, like, it doesn't work like that.
There are lots of numbers out there, but they're not really specific in what we actually owe, because monies is constantly coming in. And so I think what former Representative Mendoza, who's now the comptroller, will be giving out a more thorough and complete balance, because the governor was withholding some of the bills. So it appeared that we had paid bills and we really had not, because they didn't show up on the ledger. And so all I know is it's a numbers game. It was really putting the state of Illinois in a very precarious situation, because we really did not know exactly what was paid and what we still had to pay. And so I think what the comptroller is trying to do is saying to the governor's office, you can no longer hold back on the bills that we owe, and they must be turned in promptly. They cannot be carried over to the next fiscal year.
How is the state still functioning? If this was a household, the house would be under foreclosure.
Absolutely, absolutely. But the governor and his office, they have the liberty, and he has the liberty for a certain amount that he's in control over. And so, therefore, he can do that. Huh. He can do that. But it causes confusion in regards to, you know, you may have heard in the read where the governor says he found more money. Found it. Where did he find it at? You know, so we need to know where he's finding this money.
Yeah. And you know what? It doesn't grow on trees. And if it did, I wish I had a money tree, right?
Right. We all wish we had a money tree.
There's another thing I read, too, that Governor Rauner, he wanted to end the teaching of cursive writing. And I was really confused by this one, too, because how was cursive writing going to affect, I guess, our budget?
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
But I think some of my colleagues was under the impression that cursive writing wasn't necessary, because after all, we do have the computers. But they forget about the legal documents. They forget about the signatures as well as the printed name that needed to, even on our petitions that we're circulating right now. I reminded them that we're asked to print your name on this line and write your name on the other line. And writing has been proven to help kids think and, you know, be a little bit more creative in their thought process. And, I mean, writing's been around since the beginning of time. And to know that we were preventing some kids, not all, some kids from learning something very important, it's been around for years, something as simple as cursive writing, that would not have added a dollar to the budget or taken away from the budget, but it would have impacted this child's life in the future, that he or she would have been crippled because they did not learn cursive writing.
You know, it's really funny. My nephews, they're 14 and 12, and they go to school in Berwyn. And I remember going over there to their house, I think it was in the summer, and they were telling me about this game. It's an old game, Grand Theft Auto 5, but they kept calling it Grand Theft Auto V. And I'm like, is that a new game? I don't know what V is,
right.
Like, right? They didn't realize exactly Roman numerals.
Right.
And I had to teach them 1 through 10. So all this time they were just saying the letter, not realizing it was Roman numerals. And then later on, I found out that they aren't being taught cursive either. And I thought this was just something that was specifically maybe in these schools in Berwyn. No, it's much larger than that. It's like, how are you supposed to write a check? You know, like, how are you supposed to sign legal documents? Your name, put an X?
I think the bigger picture is, what was wrong with the way that we were taught and the things that we were taught? Obviously, it's still needed in Illinois that I think is really superficial, and we could rise above it and allow the teachers to continue to teach and teach well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that should be part of the curriculum anyways. I think that's just something really easy that, you know, any kid should know how to do. But, you know, in the same sense, I know with my nephews that I spoke about, they actually have their own little laptops that they get at the beginning of the school year. And they have to sign out, obviously. But at the end of the school year, they give it back. But it's just they get laptops and little iPads. And, you know, I can see why it wouldn't be taught, but it's kind of weird. But I find it stranger that there had to be like a law put in. Like, if anything, like, wait, what? Why does it have to? Why was this even put on the table?
And that's the question. Why was it put on the table? What was so important that we had to say that mandate cursive writing? But because it wasn't happening in the schools, and a lot of children and their families or the family members realized that their kids wasn't being taught and said that it should be mandated. This is what they want in their schools. This is what they grew up with, and this is what they think their children need. Now, we're not trying to say that because they have laptops, they shouldn't one have to forego the other. They can do them both, quite frankly, because laptops to me is just like typing. We were still able to learn to the keyboard as well as read, write, and do cursive writing, as well as shorthand. I remember that.
Oh, wow, shorthand. Yeah, I didn't have to learn that.
Yeah, I did. It was an experience. I wish I had kept it up, quite frankly.
Really? Was it worth it?
Yeah, good note-taking.
Yeah, I know. It's like all those weird squiggly lines, right? Like I remember reading a book, and I was like, oh, what? It's like you can make whole sentences in like three strokes, I guess.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Another craft. That's all. Another craft.
All this stuff has been happening lately in Illinois. But there are a lot of things that the governor vetoes have been overturned. I mean, why is it that there's, you know, everybody's saying, hey, we got to overturn this stuff?
Because a lot of things that the governor was vetoing really didn't make any sense. For the most part, as we started the conversation talking about cursive writing, why is it that he had to veto that bill? And, you know, to me, that was harming the children. And to me, the governor could have just allowed that to move forward. Why did the governor have to veto the bill that dealt with Illinois had to show how much it actually owed? Why would he not want sunshine on the debt that Illinois is in, considering the fact that we went 2 years without a budget? Why is it that we don't want everybody to know how the interest rate on going 2 years without a budget is causing all these problems for us?
One of the things that he didn't veto was, thankfully, your project, the DHS Small Business Grant.
You know, I'm grateful to the governor for not vetoing that. And when you factor in that most of these people that will benefit from the small business grant are part of TANF. They're in the TANF program. And TANF is Temporary Needy Assistance for Families. And it is just that it's temporary, and you can only be on the program for 5 years. And so there are some TANF families who have ideas that if they had a little upfront money, or if they knew how, they could create or start their own business. But no one is helping them, despite the fact the state is their job to help them get off of TANF and find work. Well, we can also help them get off of TANF by helping them to create their own job. We already have a small business assistance program to help small businesses out there, but this program will be specifically for people that's on TANF. It's a temporary program, and we want them to become self-sufficient and become taxpayers as opposed to being a burden. And what better way than to help them create their own program? Now, when you factor in that Illinois, as I stated earlier, has a small business program, and the state of Illinois is here to help people with small business, and the state of Illinois has been there to help the business of the state of Illinois. For instance, we bailed out car manufacturers, we've helped insurance companies and other businesses. We've bailed out Sears. We gave them a grant to stay here in Illinois despite the fact they still moved out. We gave Mitsubishi a grant to stay in Illinois, and they moved elsewhere. So this is nothing new, and it'll be a cost savings and a benefit to the state as well as the people of the state. So it's a win-win situation. By helping to create and start up businesses and create new entrepreneurs and create new income coming into the state.
And now, I've had you on before about this, but TANF is a new word. Is TANF the same, like, if somebody's on food stamps or if they're on welfare or disability?
Disabilities is one thing, and food stamps, that's a different program. That's the supplement, I forget the acronym for that. But those are all different programs. But you can be on TANF with children and also collect food stamps. And the problem is with TANF, there hasn't been an increase in the amount of money that a family of three would make. For instance, back in 1996, I think a family of three was making $460-some-odd. Today, a family of three is making $440-some-odd, whereas a single senior citizen will get $770-some-odd on Social Security. Now, I'm not trying to pit one against the other, but I'm showing you the difference that a single person that's a senior citizen get $700, and a mother of three on TANF gets $300, and she's limited to how much money she could make, because if she make over a certain amount, she would lose some of her food stamps. So we have to be sure that she doesn't get a pay raise. So that's the reason why we need to increase the grants that's given to these families. Because with that money, they're supposed to pay rent, light, gas, telephone, and provide for their families. So that's another reason why having this program to help people on TANF to start their own business is a win-win situation. Now, there used to be AFDC, the Aid to Family with Dependent Children, and that was prior to 1996, and I think it started in 1964. But under President Clinton, he said, we're going to change welfare as we once knew it, and we were going to make it temporary, and you can go to school, you can go to work, but after 5 years, if you're not disabled and you have kids under the age of two, you will be off TANF. So it is a temporary program. So can you imagine? I think I read the papers today that some kid was starved to death here in the state of Illinois. And when you think about all the poverty and the problems that's going on in our families across the state and across this country, because we're not very good at creating jobs. But when you think about the businesses that we've bailed out over the years, we've bailed out the insurance industry, we've bailed out the car industry, and but we haven't bailed out the people. We haven't helped them save their homes. We haven't created enough affordable homes for poor working people. And poor working people are now working three part-time jobs. trying to make ends meet, as opposed to one low-wage paying job. And to know that even with the governor, and I don't know what sense this made, when he took the child care program and dismantled it. So working moms who was trying to get off of welfare and go to work would have a safe place to keep their children or someone to take care of their children while they go to work, because they know they're on a temporary program and they have to either go to school or go to work. But the governor took away the child care subsidies, so therefore that was a setback. Close, we still have over 5,000 kids that still can't get child care. Yeah. Families can't get child care. That's amazing. We just need to start investing more into the people of this state and not just focus in on the businesses, because there's a major, major gap between the rich and the poor. And it's time for us to make poor people a priority.
Well, you know, one of the concerns I know that a lot of people have when it came to this program is the fear that it was going to be abused with scams. And one of them is that what if a person isn't, they go up there, hey, I want to start this business, and it's, I don't know, a Betamax video store. And everybody knows Betamax is gone, you know, or Laserdisc. That's another old one. So it's a business that's set to fail. I mean, is there any guidelines that will stop that?
Well, I mean, let's ask the question. As you stated, there are some businesses out there that have started up and they failed. And then they started up another business and it failed. And then they started up another business and it was successful. But the fact of the matter is, none of these people were on TANF, but if there's a small business program that's out there, and that's the purpose of the state having this small business program, to give people the guidance to make sure that they are successful. But, you know, chances of you getting it right the first time, does that mean you should stop trying? And then what? So, and as far as the abuse is concerned, there's protocols already in place. As I stated before, we already have a small business assistance program. And there's people that are supposed to be there to walk you through and to help guide you through. But a lot of business failed when this economy went down. A lot of business failed because the extra money that used to be in people's pockets to go to restaurants and to go to those small mom-and-pop startup stores, they closed because people just didn't have the extra income. So there's various reasons why businesses failed, not necessarily because it was waste, fraud, or abuse, but it really was the economy. Big businesses has failed. Sears are closing. JCPenney's are closing. Why are they closing? Because there's a new market out there. It's called Amazon. And, you know, we just have to hope that they be successful. And but we have to at least try.
Yeah, it's true. When it comes to this particular grant, is there a cap, like $100,000 or $5,000?
Currently, with the Small Business Loan Program, it's a $250,000 grant that is for the existing program. I don't know what the rules and the guidelines are going to be for the new program, or if there are going to be any changes. It could be the $250,000 as well. But once again, there is already a program in place, and the cap is $250,000.
I'm just curious, you know, what happens if it's more than one person who's on TANF? Like, is it one per household or is it one per person? Like, how would that work?
Under the TANF law, the difference between aid to family with dependent children, for some of our communities, you could not be married. But with the temporary needy assistance program, you can be married. So it could be a family that's in need of these services, but but I'm sure that I'm sure they would have the same common goal of being successful for the family. So once again, there will be guidelines that will be put in place, as it is already for the existing Small Business Assistance Program. There's an information center, a development center, a trade center, and there's a technical assistance program that's already in existence, so we will not have to reinvent the wheel, and that's something that can be worked out. There's a possibility that it might be. I don't know. I cannot answer that.
If someone is interested in just even starting their own business, or they want to know more about this small business grant, where can they go to look this up?
Well, there is a website, and I think if they just kind of Google the Illinois State Small Business website, it'll come up. And there's a telephone number on that website for the Illinois Department of Commerce. And the number I have here is 800-252-2923. And that should get them to someone that could help them answer any questions they may have in regards to loans and financing, and give you advice on the location of your business or the type of assistance you might get, or where there may be incubators and technical park. It's a lot of information that's out there. But once again, House Bill 736 was specifically for the state to pay attention to the people that they have now that's on TANF, that they too have an idea, and give them an opportunity to write and put forward a proposal that they may want to have options to create their own business, or at least talk to somebody about the possibility of a startup business.
Well, thank you so much, Representative Flowers, for coming on. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to speak with me.
It's really been my pleasure, and thank you very much for asking.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @Mason Vera Payne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.